Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest musician Kellyanna, and we will be discussing her spiritual journey and her recent creation, Nemu's Invocation, which she'll tell us about. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us. I guess we'll start a little bit letting the listeners know where they can find your information, if they want to go to the YouTube video that is up, if you have any other web addresses you want to give them, because they may want to listen to this as we get into the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, the music video, which was just launched about a month ago, is available on YouTube channel. And you just have to look up Nemu's Invocation or Kellyanna. I think it comes faster if you type the song, song's name, which is the Nemu, Nemu, Invocation, and it should come up. We've been really blessed with reaching 21,000 views as of today, and really excited with how it's been received.
So would you like to tell the audience a little bit about your journey and how you became interested in the spiritual aspects of music?
Well, I've had a very, very extensive journey with spirituality. I was born in Brazil, I was exposed to so much mysticism and things that the mind cannot explain, trans-channeling and ritualistic form of prayers and things like that, a very shamanic background. And I was one of two children, I was unique in the sense that I was very fascinated with the idea of understanding who and what God or consciousness is. Mm-hmm. By the time I was 14 years old, I had read the entire collection of Khalil Gibran. I was, through my teen years, a mystic, pretty much. Yeah, I played the tarot cards. I wasn't doing what other kids were doing. I didn't really care to go to the movies or go to dances or things like that. I was on my books. I could do and calligraphy analysis. I would do numerology for people, and I read the tarot cards, and I did palm reading, and I was just into astrology and Kabbalah. Then from there, I decided to visit every faith. I pretty much had an encounter with every single faith I could possibly find, because I had an imprinted seed in me that believed that there is one truth only, and that there was too much confusion and too much talk around everything, and that we're missing the core. And I wanted to find what the core was, and I wanted to have a personal relationship with God. And I wasn't really buying into the God that they were selling me. I was born on a Catholic Christian family from Portugal. I was first generation in Brazil. They were heavily Catholics growing up, but my mom, and then she left. At the time of her divorce, she left the church. She said she no longer believed in it, and she never forced us to go. And that's how my journey began. And then there was a lot that happened after, and continued to develop this later part of my life. I went through a period where I got married, and I had kids, and I did just that. And it was a very grounding period in my life. I became very here and now. And what we have to do in this moment, I wasn't out there anymore. I was right here, and I was grounded for quite a few years like that. And then when my divorce came, an avalanche of who I used to be just came over me. And I had a personal experience with the Divine Feminine, which for me was new because I had always related to consciousness from a male paradigm. Perspective. And I remember I was feeling disconnected from who I was and from my spiritual reality, through my married years. And as it came to an end, I started doing this prayer, which is called Prayer of Caritas, which is has a very masculine language. But what came to me was not a masculine presence, but a very feminine one. And I was surrounded by it everywhere, to the point of just having so many epiphanies and dreams, and it just bring me to tears, and being in a state of, I would say, I was living from prana. I couldn't eat, I felt no hunger, and I was so happy. It was like crazy. I was just walking on clouds, and I was in love with life. Well, and
that comes through in Namu's invocation. That kind of energy is what you're doing in the video, with through the music.
Yeah,
it's very uplifting.
Yeah. Some people cry. A lot of people cry, actually, but they say, "I'm not crying out of sadness. It's crying out of something I can hardly understand." Mm-hmm. It's so grand.
And, it's almost bringing another dimension to Earth that hasn't been here for a while.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't like to put my mind into it. I actually don't like explaining what Namu's invocation is, because I don't think it takes away from it. It's not meant to be explained. It's meant to be felt, and then, just allowed to become for each individual what it is meant to become or be. Mm-hmm. And just allow this voice, and I'm just a vessel for it and a vehicle for it, and it came from a very deep sense of intimate connection with the mystery and with this divine feminine force that showed up in my life and lit me up inside and gave me so much love. I couldn't even understand, And then later on, it showed up as a name, as a face that is recognizable, that I had no idea, but that is very known, which is Kuan Yin.
Right. Well, I have a story to tell you about Kuan Yin. It's very interesting that you and I are talking.
Mm-hmm.
Kuan Yin was the female, she's equivalent, she's a goddess of compassion. And she showed up for me when I was supposed to build the center that I'm in now, which is a spiritual center. I was taken to the airport vortex in Sedona and given the vision of the center, and I was told that it would be for the disasters. And it was Kuan Yin's energy that created the center. Actually, people were sent to me to build it. I didn't have to do it myself. Spirit sent people to me that already had the vision of the center, arranged the financing, and then became the general contractor to build the center. So, other clairvoyants came in with missions that were fairly extensive, and then it just happened. But at the time I was doing the open house for the center, that was back in 95, one of the gifts that I got was a little statue of Kuan Yin, and then someone else brought a picture of Kuan Yin. So Kuan Yin, through these gifts, made it known that her energy was what, I guess, created the center. And so I've always known that Kuan Yin was very important in this center. And this center, you may not have read much about what I do, but from all over the world, we have patients who are deathly injured from their breast implants, chemical toxicity, biotoxicity from mold in saline implants, and chemical toxicity from silicone implants. And these women have been disowned by the medical system, and they would die. They would die early. They would suffer a great deal if it weren't for what we do here. So Kuan Yin basically was the energy and the force behind the development of this spiritual healing center and it's a surgery center, because we have to remove the implants, and then it's also a medical center, because we have to detox and get their immune and endocrine systems back. It's very complex. So that's something else that Kuan Yin's doing, okay? is making sure the women...
I was reading a bit on you this morning when I woke up, and I'm really happy to be here and honored to. You do something that I believe very vehemently, that we shouldn't be pigeonholed into things that we do, and to just see the spectrum of your reach and how you've integrated things into your life, and you still find time to do the talk shows and have a center and be a surgeon and talk about spirituality, healing, and new possibilities. It's exactly how I identify myself. I don't like to call myself a singer or a speaker or a writer. I call myself a spiritually inspired visionary. And whatever is being asked of me in the moment, I show up for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's important for people to understand that there are strong streams of energy, and they probably come from higher dimensions. I mean, I believe that Kuan Yin and other goddess energy forces are available to us for our creation and our life path. You know, I was spiritually guided to get breast implants back in the military where they were free. And only one side leaked, so I got deathly ill, but all the symptoms were on one side other than the systemic symptoms. So the idea is that in meditation, in a spiritual state, I was guided to get these implants. So obviously that's my life path. You know, obviously we all have a path that we walk, and some of us anyway, are channeling this energy of the goddess and using the energy, which is a higher dimensional energy, but using it to create at the third dimensional level so that other people can be exposed to the energy. In Kuan Yin's case, it's the energy of compassion, the female, you know, the infinite compassion and grace. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw when I watched Nemu's invocation, was I saw Kuan Yin's energy. So I was very, very taken by it, obviously, since I also work for her, you know, her manifestation here on Earth.
Yeah, she seems to connect as well. I just keep bumping into more and more people who somehow I'm brought to, she has showed up in their lives. It's such a mysterious, beautiful, powerful force, and I think she's permeating everywhere at this time and day and age now. And
anyway,
I think she's just one face of this diamond, it's one facet of this consciousness diamond, you know, that shows up in the manner that needs to show up for you with the name that she needs to have in the moment. And there's more to it than we can understand. But I feel that Kuan Yin is not like we like to perceive. We tend to humanize these energies so that we can relate. But it's so above and beyond and so multifaceted, and this is just one aspect of this energy that comes as Kuan Yin. There's many aspects to her.
Yeah, I think it's whatever is needed. I think they're creative forces, really. And I think that we have contracts before we come in to work with specific forces in order to create here, especially if it's going to be difficult or dangerous or, you know, beyond what really one person can do, you know, when it requires more than one person to create. I think that people are literally guided internally to work with these higher forces. And, you know, you recognize them when you see them. I mean, when I saw anything with Kuan Yin, or when that statue showed up and the picture showed up, I recognized immediately that it was Kuan Yin's energy that was the force behind what created the center, because it was way bigger than me. I mean, I actually didn't even have the idea of doing a center, you know, but it turned out that I needed a center to do this, because you can't really take these patients to hospitals because they would be exposed to germs, and they have a immune deficiency, so that would be really bad. A lot more complication in the hospital when patients have immune deficiencies and have surgery. So, you know, you have to have them in a safer environment. So, in other words, spirit knows what we need even before we do. And it's just up to us to recognize it when it comes into our field of vision or our third dimensional world. Mm-hmm. But it's very, you end up recognizing who you need to work with and what the next step of the journey is.
Absolutely. And sometimes in the moment we feel like, oh, maybe this is, the ongoing partnership. And sometimes we just need these stepping stones to get to where we are, And mm-hmm. those are little initiations that we go through, or even courses, I call it, like little crash courses that we go mm-hmm. through, different associations and learning experiences. Not because some people tend to feel like, oh, something that didn't work is a failure. It was actually just a stepping stone to get to the next, mm-hmm. because you're not meant to be on that level, you're meant to be on another level. And you just keep, I just love looking back and actually being grateful for every little thing that in the moment I didn't quite understand, and then mm-hmm. completely seeing it for what it is, and with incredible gratitude for the gift that I received from that experience.
I think also we're starting on a course of education that is, it's kind of like a curriculum. And I'll give you some examples and see if you've had the same thing happen in your life. There's been times when I was shown invisibility in very dangerous situations. And there were times that I was shown that if you lose something in one place, you lost it, say, in a restaurant, and yet if you do a certain emotional-based prayer, it'll reappear in another place where you know you didn't lose it, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning to understand that there are things that we don't understand about this dimension in relationship to higher dimensions where... Mm-hmm. You would call them miracles, I guess, but they are not really miracles because there is a spiritual science behind them. And how manifestation works, really how emotions fuel manifestation, and really how we can create and co-create and have miracles occur all the time in our lives if we understand how they work.
Yeah.
Have you experienced any of that, these kinds of things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's been quite a few experiences I could draw from. Particularly with the synchronicities and mm-hmm. Some awake dreaming, where I am seeing something happen, and it's like I just closed my eyes and woke up like 5 minutes later, and I had a whole dream revelation, and mm-hmm. then I looked at the clock, and it was like just 5 minutes went by, and it felt like a whole hour went by.
Right.
Those things are things that you can't really explain, nonetheless, it feels like you've crossed a veil, that you entered a different reality in time and space.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've just, like, there's one episode where in my life when Kuan Yin was showing up a lot that mm-hmm. I hadn't known her name yet. And I picked up this tandem that I like telling the story because it's such an imminence. A thing that just, one of those things that I would call a miracle, where I picked up this pendant from the shop. I used to love this designer, and I still do. She's a dear friend, Shankari, and she made these beautiful pendants that were very symbolic and mystical with crystals, but very well made, very well, like, the design was intricate and beautiful. And I usually picked small ones, and they were very varied. And one day I came around the time when my life was about to completely change. I picked up the I didn't even pick it up. It was up on top. I couldn't touch it. Usually they were in a drawer, and they were very simple and clear and see-through, and there was not much detail. It was a shankari pendant, and I couldn't understand why I was so attracted to it. And I said to the person in the store, I said, Kate, what is that? And she said, oh, that's the Kuan Yin pendant. I said, how much is it? Can I see it? She said, let me go get the hook. It was up on top of a giant Brazilian clear crystal quartz, and it was a crystal clear medallion. And she went to get the hook, and this Asian woman stands next to me and says, how much is it? Oh, yeah, because I said, can I see it? She said, I'll get the hook, and this Asian woman stops next to me and says, how much is it? And I looked at her like how dare you? And then when Kate comes around, I say, Kate, I'm taking it. She didn't even answer how much it was. I couldn't help, but I had to have that medallion. Mm-hmm. She brings it down, puts it on my hand. It's just a little circle, very simple. And behind it, there was an etched image of Kuan Yin. And I said, what is Kuan Yin? That was back in 2003.
Really?
What is Kuan Yin? And she said, it's a bodhisattva. And then she went on to try to explain to me. And I said, oh, I'm too busy. I had like, my kids were very young. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put this on. And I put it on. I couldn't take it off. And then my marriage crumbled in absolute disaster soon after that. And I went to visit my family in Brazil and tell them that I was getting divorced. And I kept thinking to myself, I couldn't stop thinking, I need a talisman to protect me and my children. And and I told my mother, take me to a shaman because I need protection 24/7. I'm a child of God, and this I feel like my life is in a revolution. And she said, well, I will ask around. I don't know any shamans of the moment that I would know to take
you
to.
There's lots in Brazil, though.
But there is so many. And she said, I'll ask my friends around. So she takes me to this shaman, and he's doing this shell reading on a basket, you know, where they do divination. And he's talking. I'm not interested much in what he's explaining about what happened and what's happening in the future. And I'm just like, I am here, did my mother tell you, for the talisman, I guess.
Right.
Because I need protection 24/7. I'm a child of God. And I put my fist on the table with one hand, and I hit the fist on the table very lightly a few times as I spoke. I was somehow taken by the idea that I need a talisman, and I told her to tell him before I went.
Right.
So my mother gets up from the corner of the room and walks to me and says, Jane, why are you doing this? I said, doing what? She said, look at you. And I was holding the pendant out from my chest with the other hand, like I was beaming him or something with it, and just lifting it off my skin. And she said, why are you doing this? And I said, and then I looked, I realized what I was doing because I wasn't conscious of it. And I said, well, it was burning me so much I couldn't bear to have it stay on my skin. And this is when I'm saying, I want protection 24/7. I need a talisman. I come back to the U.S. and I put the two and two together that Shankara's jewelry were called talismans of power, and the protection that I was asking for had already been given, and that she was providing it to me. And from that moment on, once I came back, I started really diving deep into that energy and trying to understand. And there was some association with the Om. I had to wear the Om in my body. I had to get one and use it all the time. There were so many things that I was trying to understand, and it still remains a mystery. I just know that this energy absolutely is around me, and for some reason, I don't know, chose to work with me, through me, for me. And it's just this a grace, a moment of grace every time as something else comes, and it's a new gift, and it's I feel its presence. I feel like she's always around, and and it's interesting, you know, because we are in a time where we are recovering our lost, very ancient lost identity with God as a female archetype. Because patriarchy has extricated that, and I have read extensively for a project that I'm also looking to creating, which was ended up leading me to the music. And I guess I abandoned the project relatively because the music needed to come out first. But I am creating a film on the historical unveiling of the divine feminine in our ancient history. And I have done extensive reading, and it's, there's just so much that has been systematically taken away from us in that sense, and that it's institutionalized Western religion. And even some aspects of Eastern religion have adopted that standard. It just became universalized, and unfortunately it was done with the power of a force, you know.
There's a book that you should read for this project you're doing. It's called Goddess Shift, Women Leading for a Change. It was created by Stephanie Marone, who was the editor, and she interviewed, I think, 42 women leaders worldwide on the goddess energy. I was one of the ones she interviewed on medicine, but other ones were Whoopi Goldberg, Angelina Jolie, Madonna, Oprah, Jane Fonda, Shirley MacLaine, J.K. Rowling. Did you know J.K. Rowling got rejected 50 times on Harry Potter? Can you imagine? 50 rejections. That's just amazing. She wrote a chapter on it. And other, you know, tennis
that's
players.
That's why she was very wise to call herself J.K. Rowling, because everybody wouldn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of boys wouldn't have read that book, huh?
Well, that may be true. And so this book has leaders from, there's business leaders, there's leaders from Olympia Dukakis is in there, and Oprah, Michelle Obama's in there. So it's a book about the goddess energy coming out, the energy of Kuan Yin, and how that has affected these women's lives. And like, you know, Angelina Jolie, you know, she's been really spiritually guided to do the mission she has, being the UN ambassador. And she wrote a chapter on that. And I wrote a chapter on, the breast implant problem and how that is, you know, because it's a female problem, it's belittled and it's, you know, kind of swept under the rug. And, you know, my dear.
What's the name of the book again? I want to write it down.
It's Goddess Shift, Women Leading for a Change.
Goddess Shift.
Shift, right. But it's specifically, you know, what you're guided to do. But you may be, you know, if you read the different stories, you may be guided to speak to some of the people that wrote the chapters. You see, each one of us wrote a chapter. Stephanie actually called me. I'd interviewed her probably 10 times on Temple of Health, which I've been doing since, you know, 1995, I think, and basically she, I told her I didn't have time to write it because I was writing The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, and I was in the middle of that, and she said, well, I'll just interview you and write it for you, and that's what she did.
So, that would help, yeah.
That was kind of a gift, wasn't it?
Yes.
But, so take a look at that, because I think you'll find traces of Kuan Yin's influence in the lives of many of the women leaders, because
yes,
this is
absolutely.
all aspects of existence, business, law, medicine, you know, opera, I think tennis, you know, Olympic tennis players, and just just women leaders. So
yes, absolutely agreed. I've already seen the pattern.
Right. So it is a time when this energy is coming forth through the lives of other women who are guided by it to make a difference in terms of bringing more compassion in and bringing more understanding and kind of breaking the masculine, I guess, the facade of being tough but not caring and not you know, just having a different value system. I would say that that's changing the values and changing how we as a people think about things. It's not just all, you know, survival of the fittest and, you know, kind of the
Absolutely.
The strongest wins and the one with the most money wins. It's a different value system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that there's a lot of power and strength and gentleness.
Right, and in cooperation rather than competition.
Yes.
That's what I always brought. Wherever I was, I brought the idea that we could cooperate rather than compete, and that that would be better for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're definitely shifting, and it's happening fast. And I have to say, you know, I have children who are very completely consumed by the technology we're embedded in,
mm-hmm.
and social media and all that. And
right.
There is two sides to everything in this world. There's nothing is 100% shadow, or nothing is 100% light. And that's just the beauty, you know, because I'm so grateful for this fast-paced communication age that's spreading and connecting the world and spreading the news, spreading
mm-hmm.
knowledge, spreading essence through this network. I know that the ancient Native Americans and Natives in general are very connected to this concept of the spider goddess that would come and weave her net and change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the net is the internet.
It's this invisible
network that is global, and people can just learn and share and feel touch and communicate and relate
mm-hmm.
to somebody in a completely different culture and realize the oneness of us all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just accelerating evolution exponentially. You know?
That's true.
Quite an amazing time to be alive.
Well, it is. I think that that we didn't really understand through traditional religions what this time period would be, because it's more energetically based than information based. In other
mm-hmm.
words, you don't just understand it with thought.
The mind. Yes.
You have to actually understand it through feeling and.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a vibrational shift.
Yeah, it's more experiential than
right. Experiential, exactly. Not intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
And but what I've been experiencing, and what a lot of other people in that are long-term meditators and spiritually based people are experiencing, is that they have more and more physical sensations of, you know, the spinning sensations, the like sleeping long periods of time when they're, you know, they're guided to, they get very tired, extremely tired, and then they sleep like long periods of time. It's almost like we're in a cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we wake up and go back into the world, there's a lot more synchronicities, a lot more, you know, a lot more. Like the other day, I was walking in a store and I saw this thing called Fix-A-Flat. I've never had a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like almost 60. I've never had a flat tire, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I bought it. I just bought Fix-A-Flat. And then two nights ago, I had a flat tire. You know, like, you know. I mean, it's almost like spirit will bring you the answer before you have the problem. Now, that's pretty good. You know? So,
oh,
but that kind of thing's happening more and more. Like you said before, the synchronicities. And it's almost like we're living in a world that's different than it was before. And it probably isn't different. It's just that we're at a different level to comprehend things
mm-hmm.
that are important before they happen.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we have opened possibilities. And there's circles within circles of people doing that. Not everybody is there. You know, we always speak from our own personal perspective, but there are more and more of these awakenings there, and where you become so open and you understand and you surrender to that with such conviction and such inner knowing that that just simply is, that you start operating from that level. And I think everybody, all they need to do is like a radio station. You need to tune into that vibration. And that vibration is very subtle and intricate and complex, and it's coming from all the things that make up your essence, be it thought, be it action. And when you're resonating with that frequency, it starts to communicate with you because you're just grounded in it. And it's just going to be talking to you. And when we're operating more from a logical, mental space, and we're not completely open, we're still in our cynical bodies, and we're still doubtful and, you know, stuck in another paradigm, which is, we've all been there, I'm sure, you know, very few of us have been born completely surrendered to this new reality, to this new dimension of being, and... you know, it's just some people are just ready to pop. They're just ready to move on. They just need a little planting of seed. And that's why there's what I call many points of light. You know, everybody's trying to be unique and do something different. And and all they're doing is talking about the same thing in a different form, in a different energetic assimilation style. You know, and it's beautiful because there's so many different colors in the rainbow spectrum and different nuances and hues. And every new point of light will communicate the same message, just the right way for it to be received by this other group of people. Right?
Yeah, and kind of bring them into the energy so that they can get out of the fear-based world that they were born into. We were given information in session that is very important that I want to share, and I think that your whole creation on YouTube and your whole message and what you're going to bring into the future is the same message, just like you said, 1,000 points of light. The message that we got that really struck me as important in this time is that, and this is from Spirit, you have way more help available than you ever realize. All you have to do is ask. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a real revelation. We are not alone here.
You
know, we are not just down here stuck in the third dimension. Okay.
Yeah, but we were so stuck with the idea that we were alone and that we had to control everything, otherwise we will be doomed. And it's that belief that prevents us from asking in the past, or those who don't realize, you know, and it is a re-educating of like, hey, you know, all you have to do is remember you can ask. You know, remember you can ask. Even the thought directed to your... You know, your I call it my spiritual crown, or my you know, the other dimensional reality that oversees me. You know, and I just say, hey, I'm a little stuck here. I just need a little light. Add some light on this, and boom, you know.
And even if you don't know what you need, have you ever been in that situation where you know you're not quite in the right place, but you don't know what you need? You can just ask for the highest and best. You can ask for the next thing to come forward. I mean, you don't have to know what to ask for, is what I'm saying.
The next best thing for the highest good.
Right. Because I don't always know what's best. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I look at a situation and I don't even know what outcome is going to be best.
Yeah,
you know, that's part of, I mean, because things are not always what they seem. Things are not always bad. You know, they may be looking bad, but actually they're going to turn out really good. Absolutely. So, you know, you can't just go in a depression because you think everything's going downhill, because it isn't. It's like, well, like the example you gave, you picked up this pendant with the energy of Kuan Yin, and then your marriage fell apart. You see?
And you could think, wow, there's something wrong.
It wasn't wrong. It was in divine order.
It was all right, because the thing is, my life had to be restructured for me to be living my truth. And from that moment on, and until today, it's been 10 years, and I had never dreamed that I could have ever live the life I'm living today. I'm living every one of my dreams. I have a dream relationship. I have a dream home. I have a dream practice. I have a dream project. They're all coming to manifest.
They're there, right. And that would have never happened had you stayed in that marriage.
Exactly.
It couldn't have.
100%.
So things may have to fall apart. I remember I was at a course that Carolyn Mace was giving, and Carolyn's a medical intuitive that works with Norm Shealy. So she's got a lot of wisdom. And she said, when you have this experience where you're going to be elevated vertically vibrationally, she said, what happens is either everything in your life falls apart or you think it's going to fall apart. You really believe it's going to fall apart. And so, you know, some people, everything becomes, you know, their relationships fall apart, their job, they get fired from their job, they may, you know, get close to bankruptcy, you know, their financial things falls apart. Or in my case, what happened was I firmly believed, because of several things, four or five things that were going on, that I was going to die. You know, I was going to die in a car crash. So I, you know, that would be losing everything. And then I got okay with it. I mean, it took me a day or two, but I was fine with it. You know, it's whatever, you know. So what she says is we have to either release everything or be put in a position where we release it. Like you were put in a position where you had to release your marriage. And then that's when we can actually shift to a higher vibrational state.
Yes, absolutely. So, it is a powerful message to give everyone out there to know that in the middle of chaos, you know, you can find the jewel in the mud, but there's a purpose to everything that's happening in your life. And I think no matter how odd and strange or, you know, wrong it seems at the moment, it's ultimately for your highest evolutionary cause and impulse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to bring you to greater freedom. And sometimes it can be painful depending on the level of resistance you still have. And it can become, you know, it's like breaking a bone to be able to fix it because it was glued together the wrong way.
Right,
and
true.
Yeah, it's just, it can be very painful to some. And the more my greatest advice to everyone is just breathe into the flow and just let go of resistance. Just go into that place of trust. Just try it. Just experiment with it.
The T word.
See what happens. Move with the flow. Like, you're going to go swimming against the river. You're going to be exhausted. Mm-hmm. You're going to age really fast.
Right.
Just give it a shot and try it out. Just, let's move with the flow. Let me just not be so attached to what I thought should happen. Let me move it with it and see where it takes me. And you'll be blown away.
Yeah.
Right?
I wanted to mention another book that Stephanie did called Optimism, and it's about 42 authors, but it's male and female, and some are dead, some are alive. Like Einstein's in there, Steve Jobs, Helen Keller's in there. She wrote a really great thing on optimism. But the chapter I wrote addresses energetics, in other words, energy management, and in it I address every major fear that we have as humans. And the antidote to that, okay, the opposite, the faith-based, the spiritual-based answer to that fear. Because really, we waste a lot of energy on having fear of certain things, you know, if I die, if I go bankrupt, if I lose my significant other, if I, you know, or any other significant relationship. But these fears just zap our energy. They really, well, first of all, they don't really even exist. In other words, you're always going to have change. You're always going to have loss. I mean, you will never keep any relationship that you have the same way. It will always evolve or devolve. Nobody gets out of life alive. I mean, you know, everybody is going to die. Mm-hmm. So to have a fear based on something that is inevitable is very, very energy wasting. Okay, so that I think that chapter will help people understand how they can reframe things and then not waste so much energy. And then when you have more energy, you're right, you don't age, you have a lot more joy in your life, you don't have all these attachments that bring suffering. It's really a way to get out of suffering.
And deep down, it's nothing but common sense. To do that.
Yeah.
It's common sense. You stop and think, okay, these are things that are unavoidable. What can I do to just accept them? You know, and live my life in the moment. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they do drain tons of energy. And they block the energy flow. And you actually end up attracting more of it so that you finally get familiar with it and accept it. It's like you're going to have a lot of loss. You're going to have a lot of having to let go. Because you are so rejectful of it and you're so unaccepting of it that it's so much in your consciousness. Because when you have fear, you have the presence of that energy with you all the time. And the more you think about it, even if it's not a conscious thought, it's an emotional thought, your state of emotion, of anxiety related to that fear, even if it's unspoken or it's even bypassing your reason, it's present in your vibrational field. And what are you going to manifest? You're going to manifest more of it because the goal is to release you from it so that you can flow through all these events that are common and are part of life and continue to tread your path with a greater understanding, with a greater acceptance, and knowing that every moment ahead of you, there's a greater purpose for why you are here, regardless of having lost connection with a soul that just left this planet or who moved on to a different country or who has left your life because it was no longer in service to you or both of you. And it's just having the greater picture, you know.
And you know, you have to remember, this is what I point out in the chapter I wrote on optimism, because you can't be optimistic without energy management. If you mismanage your energy, you become very pessimistic. That's the tenet of this chapter. But basically, if you know, if you lose a relationship, realize there's lots of other potential relationships out there. Probably, you know,
the universe
thousands.
Is huge.
Yeah,
so many,
I mean, you know, don't say I will only be happy if I'm with so and so. You know,
yeah.
I mean, come on. That's like a recipe
just
for disaster.
Small
thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can't really be happy with that framing of what relationships are. What I think, I mean, I think relationships are fluid. I think that you're with somebody, at least in my life, I'm with somebody for a time, and then, you know, when that's over, it's over. But if it, you know, it may not, it may be for a lifetime, it may be for a few years, but it is what it is. And I will know what it is, you know, as I go forward, because I'm given these signs, this information. And, you know, it's always perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay whether I'm in relationship or whether I'm not in relationship.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter one way or the other. It's whatever is supposed to be at that time.
And like you said, the word reframing is very important. Being able to go in and see, what is my belief system? What am I living by? What is my programming? Why am I unsatisfied about this all the time? What is it that I need to recapitulate here and rethink? Because the belief I'm having about something is actually creating my anguish, which if I transform my belief system, I will be freed. So
right.
It's this reframing of sometimes you're living by somebody else's paradigm or your cultural upbringing, mm-hmm. of familial influences. You name it, you've been just, you know, absorbing this osmotically as you grew up, as so much being a child. Messages mm-hmm. that come through the media, that come through your family, through secrets in the family, through taboos, mm-hmm. through religion, through you name it. And you've been carrying all this junk, literally. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of junk. And that's why all the masters and sages always point to the inner. Go in and find mm-hmm. your truth. Do not be
right.
afraid to question. You know, because when you're feeling joy and you're feeling peace, you're in the right track. And
right.
if something
and when you're feeling
creating,
the opposite, you know,
yeah,
when you're feeling
you're in
that
the
things
wrong,
aren't the right direction.
Trusting your inner
you
guidance.
You need to listen to that.
Indoctrinated to not trust mm-hmm. ourselves, and actually we've been
right.
hung and killed and shot because we tried to, if we ever did, you know, because
mm-hmm. And set on fire.
Yeah, institutionalized religion wanted to be the only
yeah.
one who held the truth,
right.
who could speak to God, who could interfere for
mm-hmm.
you, to control of everything, and to, it disempowered
yeah.
humanity.
Yeah,
yeah
it really
so.
Did. That's true. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give the contact information again and any website information you have? Because I really want people to go and watch Nanu's invocation. I think that is just a beautiful creation. Kuan Yin's energy comes through that, and our empowerment comes through that. And I think it's something everybody should go do right now is listen to that.
Yes. I think the funnest place for a one-stop shop would be KalyaniMusic.com because I write journals. You know,
mm-hmm.
we just put the website up a month ago, but there's quite
okay.
a bit of content. There is a lot of clips and interviews with me, videos. You can listen to me speak about my experience
mm-hmm.
with the music, a little bit
mm-hmm.
about my background. And there's some poetry, thoughts, and things that I write. And my bio's there. There's enormous amounts of information.
Great.
And it's still growing
great.
Every day. And also other sound bites for other compositions that are coming through
mm-hmm.
until my EP is released in the fall, which is called
great.
Imminence.
Wonderful. We look
yeah.
forward to that.
So it's KalyaniMusic.com, and Kalyani spells K-A-L-I. Kalyani, Y-A-N-I. So it's an I and a Y. KalyaniMusic.com and music.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been delightful talking to you, and I look forward to seeing your future creations and hopefully having you back on the show.
Yes. Thank you, Susan. It was such an honor. I'm really, really happy
great.
To spend this time with you.
All righty. Well, this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.